Well, hi, and good evening here from Finland.
Michael,
Yes.
can you hear me? This is BL.
Yes.
I ended up in the waiting room. Can you promote me to a co-host, please, so I can assist you?
You should be there. There's no one left in the waiting room now, BL. No one is remaining. Now let's see. Is that okay?
I think so. I just
Maybe
need to.
so.
Okay. All right. Hold on. Let me.
Let's just check. I'm trying to find your name.
It won't let me change it. I'm the Moira Federation.
Oh goodness, I wish Michael were here.
Sorry, it won't let me change my name. I tried.
Michael,
Yes.
this is Carl. If you go where her name is and you click on the thing where it says there's a blue label there, and I forget what it says exactly, but if you click on that, it puts a pull down menu. It says make co-host.
Yes, I just can't find BL's name, unfortunately.
My name is not there. It says Moira Federation.
Oh, okay. Okay. There we go. So, make call. No, well, I just made you the host. I'll make you the co-host. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Now I can assist
Okay,
you and I can tell everybody who I really am.
well, thank you. Whoever it was that was speaking to me, I'm thank you.
That was Carl.
Oh, okay, great. Okay, friends. Well, tonight I hope to be a little less gaspy. My problem yesterday was that I had the what can I say? I had the the sound on all the way, and it was recording everything around. So maybe I can avoid that because I'm not going to be doing many ohms anyway. So turn on original sound. Original sound is off. And as a result, let's say I won't sound like I'm dying on the computer right there. Not quite anyway. Okay, I think we're pretty good at the moment. And the live transcript, well, yes, let's have that. And well, I'm not sure how I can do that, but anyway, maybe I hope I've done that. It looks like I have at the bottom of the screen, done the live transcript. When Tuya is speaking in Finnish, it's hopeless to use a live transcript because we get very bizarre words because of a different language. Okay. And I trust that you can hear me, so we ought to be in pretty good shape. Now, it's been a while since I've been able to actually read something. But I will now begin to do that once again. And we'll see how that works. Okay, Okay, we're starting on the program, and who is this calling? Yes, Julia, I'm on the program. Okay, that's fine. Look, dear, I'm on the program.
Brad, can you then come to eat it?
I'm on the program, dear.
Yeah, but can you come to eat it then?
Later. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay. We have a lot going on here. Somehow, there is a new little dog in the house, and that makes four chihuahuas, and he needed to be tended to today because he was had an allergic reaction to a vaccine, and he almost passed away. So Tuya had to run and to rescue. She's very good at that. But she rescued the little dog, who is very white in color, and he's called Valo, which in Finnish means light. So anyway, that's part of what's going on here. And sorry for the little interruption there. Okay. Now, we have again at 7 o'clock GMT the next to the last vigil for the conference in Glasgow, Scotland. And my anticipation is that Tuya will be back for that and be able to lead the meditation. At least I hope that is the case. Now, BL, what I have so far is that this is the beginning of program 186 and it's reading 123. Please correct me if I'm not correct. And
okay, hold on, let me confirm.
And meanwhile, while BL is looking, I just want to welcome those of you who are here, and Veronica. Yes, you appear to be here twice anyway. Hi. And Annette, welcome. And Astra, welcome. BC, hello and welcome. And Carl, yes. Welcome. Catherine, from Australia, and Frederick, yes, from Japan. He's been here for a while. And Georgina and Heike Bobert, welcome, both of you. And Catherine O'Brien, New Zealand. Welcome, Catherine. And Mariana from Sweden. And Martine Dupont, welcome, Martine. And Vivian and Yvonne Weniger, welcome, both of you. And Zenaide Moret. More booty. Welcome, Zenaide. Okay, well, okay. That'll be...
Michael, yeah. Yes, that is correct. We had another one, but there was no reading. So this would actually be program 187. Reading 122.
It would be, but isn't, is that the idea?
Well, it's up to you. I can change, I can take the program 185 out, but you did have a program and you did have a meditation on the 29th of October, so.
Okay, and the one that I'm beginning now should be what number program?
Program 187, reading.
Okay. Thank you.
Reading 123.
Okay, good. All right, getting a few of the details straightened out. Now, I hope you can hear me pretty well, and that my sometimes lung condition is not getting in the way. Anyway, that's my hope. Okay, friends, so let's take a look at what we have, because it's well, I shall I read a tiny bit of a segue. It's about reality precipitating itself at the right moment. Once the higher light pours in, and we all want that higher light, that that is the light minimally of the soul, of the triad, of the monad, and eventually when we are ourselves masters and ascended masters, like the Christ and the Buddha, well, then we will be dealing with either with higher sources. So anyway, the light pours in. And these experiences, which are not permitted to hide the real, they are indicative of the real and are often mistaken for the real. That's, I guess what I want to say there is that the glamorous illusory conditions are often mistaken for the real. And DK says they are in conflict with the higher light is in conflict with these old thoughts and old desires. As a matter of fact, today we're going to be meditating upon the glamour of selfish desire, which is such an obstacle in the present day relationship between the dweller of humanity and its angel of the presence. So these higher impressions are the real, and they are in conflict with the thoughts and desires of the past and must eventually give place to the factual presence of the real. Now, that's quite a word. It's a philosophical word, you know, and there's so many different ways of defining what is real. Real sometimes means the thing in itself, or the actual. And the true real is maybe much higher, but sometimes we just have to let all that go and just talk about what is real as far as our knowledge of the etheric physical plane and the different energies that the ethers carry. Now, he says, they provide, in times of crisis, the great testing for all aspirants and disciples, evoking the subtlest kind of discrimination. The higher we go, the more subtle must be the discrimination, the discernment, which cannot be achieved easily simply within the personality. But once that testing has been triumphantly passed, so think of Scorpio, okay? Think of the Buddhic plane. Think of where the human monads are gathered as the creative hierarchy of initiates. That's what they're called. They're either the fourth or the ninth creative hierarchy. That's the triumph. And once the testing as to discrimination has been passed, then the task of dissipating both these types of glamour be given to the aspirant, to the disciple, and aspirant, with the emphasis upon immediate need of any particular or any particular current world glamour. Now, maybe, let's say, at different times, different types of glamours are prominent, and we must be sensitive and discerning as to which of the glamours really is interfering with human progress. Right now, there is a lot of selfish desire, the lust for power, against which D.K. warns in the telepathy book. And by the way, I've sent out to a lot of people, and so has BL to even more, the first 21 or so programs of telepathy and the etheric vehicle. It's a wonderful book, and not easy to understand. I don't find it easy, but at least many of you will be able to access it. And if you have time, you can get into it. When it talks about, or we talk about, the Tibetans' writings, they are so voluminous that the question arises always, for what do we really have time? That's the question. And we have to make that time. So now we go on with further reading, starting on page 201. And I'll try to, as usual, discriminate between the Tibetan's words and what I may add, so everything hopefully will be clear. So this is the Tibetan speaking. It will be apparent to you, therefore, that groups working consciously at the service of dissipating glamour will have the following characteristics. Now, that's what the Tibetan was trying to create in the second group of trained observers, which had an activation of the same as the religious group. The head center, the heart center, and I may be forgetting, but around page 40 of Discipleship in the New Age, we see the three centers that are activated in this group of trained observers. So, you know, he never got very far with this because of the precipitation of the second part of the Great War, that precipitation being called World War II. He had to discontinue the groups of nine, and he reorganized everything. But since the whole project is a 275-year project, we can pretty well imagine that it will take almost until the year 2200 2200 for this project really to be launched. Okay, so the following characteristics, let's just kind of take a look here and see what they might be, because perhaps some of us are interested in particularly working with this group. Now, something is bothering me just a little bit, you know. When I can't find a reference, I oftentimes am distressed by that. I know it's silly, but let's just say here on, let's see, Discipleship in the New Age. I know you don't see this yet, but let's just say if we want to go to approximately page 40, and maybe right under it, we will, yes, I'm looking at it, but you just take my word for it. The head, the heart, and the solar plexus centers. Now, how could I forget that? Since the sixth ray is so very important in the dissipation of glamour, and of course, for the religious group, the same. I have the workers in the New World Religion. I have them just a little bit too dark. So there they are, group number six. And DK says an interesting thing. He says they are necessarily the same as those of group two. So it would be up to us to try to discern from page, let's see, what page is it? I'm not going to bother necessarily showing it to you right this moment, but from page 41 of Discipleship in the New Age, volume 1. Okay, it's a very rich section which tells about the new C groups, and as you know, David Hopper is doing a whole series every month on the seed groups, so do your best to pick up those programs when they do occur. Okay, now, going back to where I thought I was, it's here. Oh, well, I thought it was here. Okay. Okay. So now you should see that. It will be apparent to you, therefore, that groups working consciously at the dissipating of glamour will have the following characteristics. So let's evaluate. Let's see if this is the kind of group that we would be participating in. Now, I would say, look, all of us have to take an interest in all the groups, but as far as which seed group might be ours, that is a different matter. Okay. They will be composed of sixth ray aspirants and disciples, aided by second ray spiritual workers. And what we seem to understand from that is that the spiritual workers are on a higher turn of the spiral than the aspirants and disciples on the sixth ray. Those who are wielding the second ray have a deeper and greater understanding so far than those who are the confirmed idealists, except, let me say, maybe in special circumstances. You do have some very high idealists. Okay, so what I'm going to do is kind of give this a, I just want to, I just have to make sure that you can see. Okay? And anyway, so here we are. I'm trying to move all this down a little bit and over. Sorry that I'm not the best technically at all this, but yeah. So I'll give this a kind of six-ray color. Those involved in the dissipation of glamour will have the following characteristics. They will be composed of sixth-ray aspirants and disciples, aided by second-ray spiritual workers. Now, do you know of any sign of the zodiac which particularly features the second and the sixth ray? And I know you do, and that would be Pisces, especially. Maybe there's some others. I'd have to review that in my mind, but Pisces for sure brings in the second and the second and the sixth rays. Okay, now, what other characteristics? And by the way, I'm going to enlarge this idea of characteristics just a bit so we know where we are and what we're doing. They will be formed, and this is a multi-part statement. They will be formed of those who, and let's see if we can make this, I don't want to spend too much time making, you know, pointing to different colors and so forth. They will be formed of those who, A, are learning to dissipate their own individual glamours and can bring understanding to the task. Well, there I think we find the second ray strong, and that's one qualification. Okay? And also, who forms these groups? They are focused upon the mental plane and have some measure of mental illumination. They are mastering the technique of light. Now that is the technique that we largely use in our glamour meditations to contribute to the dissipation of individual and also world glamour. Now, focus on the mental plane. Well, in the sequence of meditations beginning from Leo, giving us concentration, and going all the way to Pisces, which gives us identification, we find, interestingly, that Scorpio rules mental illumination. Of course, you can be mentally illuminated with any of the signs being prominent, but it has a lot to do with working in the last three petals of the outer egoic lotus, the nine outer petaled lotus. So I would recommend, if you have time, and of course who does, that you pay attention to my book, which is a video book called The Egoic Lotus. There's a lot in there that may be of value to you. So they are focused upon the mental plane, and they have some measure of illumination. If they're going to be really working properly, wisely, effectively, as dissipators of glamour. Now, you know the words, don't you? You disperse Maya, you dissipate glamour, you dispel illusion. Now, decay is not always exacting in the use of those words. He sometimes talks about the illusions of the astral plane, and he does not confine them only to the mental vehicle. And these words are, when he's operating loosely, we find the words to be interchangeable. I guess the important thing is to be rid of these confinements, these misleading states, which prevent us from receiving energy flows from ever higher points of tension. I mean, if we're solidly in the grips of some kind of glamour or illusion, how will the truth get through? And the one thing, well, there's more than one thing, but one of the things about the study of esotericism is that the true student wants the truth of things and is not satisfied with vague feelings and the sort of I have a feeling kind of unconscious telepathy. The science of impression, rather, must work, and the science of the supreme science of contact must be somewhat understood. Okay, now who else will be fulfilling these characteristics? The service of dissipating glamour. Now, a lot of people would say, well, what kind of service is that? But we know from our spiritual occultism that this hidden factor, hidden from most, is a great retardant to a contact with ever higher levels of reality. Okay, what else? Now, 6-ray aspirants, 2nd-ray spiritual workers, these are subtle distinctions because a worker is not necessarily an aspirant or vice versa. A spiritual worker has gone beyond the state of, strictly speaking, aspiration. And some disciples could work harder than they do. And that's why one of the final things that D.K. said to his group was kind of an awakening thing. He said, "Work, my brothers." And then, you know, he also said, "I've finished my responsibility, and now over to you. I'm handing the responsibility to you." So there's no escape from the idea of work. And then point C, what else about those who will be serving by dissipating glamour? Okay, this is all part of the second formulation. These people are aware of the nature of the glamours which they are attempting to dissipate, and can use the illumined mind as a search light. Now, maybe that's not so frequently found. Because glamours have a way of deceiving us. They have a way of masquerading. They have a way of hiding as, well, that's just how I am, many people say, thereby masking a real glamour problem. So a study of how various glamours work to block or mislead, block us from the truth, or mislead us into non-truth, this is necessary. So, this awareness of the nature of the glamours, that's number one in this section C, and they have and can use, as we are attempting to use, the illumined mind as a searchlight. Now, you know that searchlight is good for at least a couple of things. I'm sure you can think of them. And it's useful for detecting a glamour when it may be present, and it's also useful for dissipating the glamours which are detected. It's a bit like the spiral horn of the unicorn, only it is made of light. So, you know, it's the mark, when used properly, of the initiate. Okay, so just so long as we remember what we're doing, of course I'm speaking to myself when I say that, but anyway, it's of value to remember. And okay, well, so those who are working at the dissipating of glamour have these characteristics. They're on the sixth ray, they're on the second ray. They recognize their own glamours and can bring understanding to the task. Understanding is a great second ray quality. They are focused on the mental plane and can bring mental illumination to the work, and they have studied the glamours, and they use the illumined mind in a dual manner to discover and to dissipate both. What else? They will count among their numbers those who, occultly speaking, have the following powers in progress of rapid development. So they're working in groups, and their associates are these kinds of individuals, and we'll see what kind of individuals they are. A, the power not only to recognize the glamour for what it is, but to discriminate between the various and many types of glamour. Now, DK was doing this all the time, and he was naming special glamours that maybe were not listed in the book in relation to certain people. He would say, well, it's difficult to put one's finger on the glamour to which you are subject. Maybe I will call it this. So he had a very discerning understanding of the distinction between various types of glamour. Okay, that's another thing they will have. I'm just going to put that in that color. They will have, well, here I'm going to make this a little bigger. Okay. Also, they will have the power to appropriate the light, absorbing it into themselves, and then consciously and scientifically project it into the world of glamour. Now, where does that light come from? Well, there's the light of matter. There is the light of the logical mind, and there is the light of the soul, all of which are made to form a kind of triple beam, which is projected into the world of glamour. So they have, I'll just put it down, the power to appropriate the light. And note this, scientifically projected into the world of glamour. In other words, what DK is giving us is a scientific method of glamour dissipation. He goes on and says, the masters, the higher initiates, and the world disciples do this alone, if need be, and require not the protection of the group or the aid of the light of the group members. I think that's actually quite interesting, that when you are a high enough initiate or an advancing disciple, you can appropriate the light and project it scientifically into the world of glamour. Okay. Now, maybe a little more, because I don't want to run over today, because we have still the next to the last vigil for the United Nations work conference in Glasgow. Okay. So, the masters and higher initiates do this alone, if need be. Maybe it doesn't always, maybe it's not always needed. And they require not the protection of the group. So think about it. When you're projecting into the world of glamour, the fellow group members that are working with you are a kind of protection against what might otherwise happen. It is so possible to be overwhelmed by glamour and not know it. And also, they're numbering among their group, okay, have the following powers. They can discriminate. They can appropriate and use the light, and also, says DK, the power to use the light, not only through absorption and projection, but also by a conscious use of the will. Now, you know that part in the glamour meditation where we strengthen our beam through the application of the spiritual will. Okay. A conscious use of the will and going on carrying energy upon the beam of a projected light. So let's kind of point that out. And to this, to this steady beam, they add a persistent and steady focus. Now, not everybody can do that. There's a lot of vacillation that occurs, but the more trained we become, the more we can be persistent and steady in our focus. The beam thus projected has a twofold use. It works expulsively and dynamically, much as a strong wind blows away or dissipates a dense fog, or as the rays of the sun dry up and absorb the mist. This is how the beam we project can be thought of as working. And, well, I kind of hinted at this earlier, it acts also as a beam along which that which is new and a part of the divine intention can enter. The new ideas and the desired ideals come in on the beam, just as the beam directs and brings in airplanes to the desired landing place. Of course, that was a long time ago that this was being written, but nevertheless, the anticipation was there. Okay. So DK looks at the beam in a twofold manner. And I'll just kind of emphasize this part of it. The new ideas and the desired ideals come in on the beam. Think about that for a moment. So it blows away, it banishes the old, and it brings in the new. Where from? From very much the light, pardon me, the light of the soul, working through the Ajna Center in combination with two aspects of lower light, the light of matter and the light of the logical mind. Okay. Well, look, a new section is coming up. We've been through this section somewhat, but now we are reading the entire book in a careful manner. And I think that it's not the best idea to start that right at the moment. Let's see here. Yeah. So, you know, in terms of pages, we didn't go so far, but okay. I think I'll just use this as strengthening. And here is the beam thus projected. And it has maybe a little different purpose here. Now, before I talked about destruction, and DK talks about that, the wind blows and the glamours are dissipated. I also talked about the discovery of the glamours, but he's adding a third factor, one to which we should pay attention, the bringing in of the new. the bringing in of the new. Because after all, within the astral body, there have to be new and better conditions, pretty well engineered by the light of day and the Buddhic plane and the sign Scorpio, among others. So there are three factors involved here: discovery, dissipation, the addition of the new and better. And they have to be kept together. So basically, you know, we're just, I wondered how far I would get with this today, and now I kind of know. Not too far, but that's okay. So I'm going to bring this down to where we're going to stop and commence a whole new section next time. And so BL told us that we are this was program 187. So I'm guessing, well, I guess it's 187 and 123, the end of, and beginning of 188 next time, I assume, with reading 124, I get lost in all these numbers, I'm afraid. And when do we anticipate this, BL?
The next one that I show on Tuya's calendar is for the 3rd of December. Uh-huh. Next week is going to be the full moon events.
Uh-huh. Okay. 3rd of December. Well, we'll just go with that. And we're beginning basically on page 202. Okay. So that tells us a bit about the workers, the groups. Who needs to work with a group and why? And those who can handle it themselves because of their spiritual status. Of course, it doesn't say that they will not work in groups. He was careful about that. He says if it proves necessary. But I'm quite arrested by the idea that new ideas and desired ideals come in on the beam, reinforced by the will. And they are, I don't know, guided in, I guess. And we have a different type of, as a result, a new and better condition in the formerly beglamored and illusory states in which we were living. Okay. Now, I'm not going to immediately get into the meditation. It probably won't be a long meditation because we have, as I say, we have to make sure that we can honor the climate conference, which affects all of us, whatever country we may find ourselves from. But that will be over in 2 days, and our schedule will loosen up a bit, but I'm not exactly sure what Tuya has in mind for that after the climate change conference. So is there anyone who would like to, on the basis of this reading, say anything or write anything? We have a little bit of time for that. And BL, if you can.
Yeah, I don't see anything yet.
Okay. If there is, if it does appear, then we'll take a look at it. Yeah, and you gave them My Egoic Lotus video book. You can find it there. And I promise you that as you go petal by petal, you'll understand the great expanse of time that is required to open up the earlier petals, and then later how rapidly, relatively rapidly it can go when we start to reach the sacrifice petals. I mean, the very first petal can be millions of years. It's amazing span of time. Yeah, B.O.
Okay, Yvonne's got her hand up, and quickly, Vivian says, this is so appropriate for the climate change conference taking place this afternoon, finalizing the text that will be of such importance for the next stage of humanity. Yvonne.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I unmuted myself.
Yes.
Okay. Michael, I love that part. I hadn't heard that before, where the beam, besides dissipating glamour, brings in new ideas and new ideals. I think that is so fantastic. That's really great that you emphasize that, because I really never heard it before.
Well, I emphasized it because I think I had not given it also the proper attention. It's just something that, you know, how we read things and we read over something and then we realize we didn't really get it. So yeah, it is really important to treat each area of the personality, and especially the astral plane when dealing with glamour, with a new approach, a better approach. Because after all, ideals of a good kind do exist. An expansive idealism does exist. And we need that, not the cramped financial, religious, political idealism which misleads everybody. Okay, I didn't mean to interrupt you, I'm sorry. Yvonne. Yeah.
I was done. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, anyway, yes. This is important for me, for all of us to realize on the beam can come these better ways of working within each area. We don't have to have the illusions and misinterpretations of the lower mind. We don't have to have the misleading confinements of the astral plane. new and better can occur and must occur. We can't leave things the way they are right now. It's too dangerous for the welfare of humanity and even for the existence of humanity. And that's a whole nother story about, I mention it often though, about starting all over again. Now that would be a dreadful thing, but DK says it is a possibility which can be envisioned. That's what he says. So we have to be very careful now these days how we proceed. Well, thank you for your thought, Yvonne. Okay, anything else?
I added the link for the climate change meditation this evening at 7 p.m. It's the same link we've been using all along. And of course, it will be at 7 p.m. again tomorrow. Tomorrow's the last day for it, right?
I think so, the 13th.
Right.
It says 3 to 13.
Right. It'll be at 7 p.m. again tomorrow.
Yeah, so. Don't get stuck. It's possible it happened to Annette, it happened to me. We didn't use that one ongoing section that said 3 to 13. We tuned in on a day that said climate conference, and it didn't lead to the same place. So just use that link. I assume, BL, that
right.
That's the there, link.
There are that... two different links. You have a regular Zoom meeting that you haven't been able to get to very often. It's part of the ASK program. But this was a special daily vigil. So it had a separate link for the daily vigils, and it goes on the daily vigil page on Makara when it's posted. So that's the reason there's two different links for that.
Okay. Well, just as long as we got the accurate one now, that's good. And that's posted right here, I think.
Yeah, I posted it in the chat.
Yeah.
Okay, now Anne Veronica says, we have talked about this before, but I am still having problems with the words destroying the life behind a glamour. It seems to have a life, but life is sacred to me. Can it be that we do not actually destroying, but we're taking it apart to form something new? Nothing gets really lost. So one would say I am lost in the translation. Uh-huh. Can we talk again a little bit about
it? I would say use substitute the word vitality. You know, I think that's more what it means. It's not about the life aspect. It's about the vitality which makes the sustainment of the glamour possible. And when there's no energy to sustain the glamour, it begins to fall apart and give way to something new. So for myself, I always translate that as sustaining vitality, which is taken away from the wrong forms which it has been supporting. I hope that helps just a little bit. Because, you know, with the word life, we can get into all kinds of different meanings, some of them very high, of course. Some of them monadic and beyond. So I just think of it as what supports the glamour and makes it sustainable. And then when that life or vitality is taken away, the glamour just falls down. It crumbles. It cannot exist. That's how I think of it, Anne Veronica. Okay, well, we better maybe get going on the meditation.
Okay, so thank you. If you can show it on your screen, please.
Yeah. Get there, huh? Let's see if I can. Is that it? Selfish desire?
Yes, looks like it. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. All right. It won't be long. We just think about together, think about selfish desire and what we're willing to see other people go through so that we can support our selfish desires. We become oblivious to the rights of others. And many, many millions are that way. We begin by having the sense of silence between us. We haven't time now for 10 minutes of silence. That would be the way to do it, of course. And we may realize how silence clears the way. And puts us all in the same room of consciousness, so to speak. Now, our protective formula, forehead, heart, left eye, right eye. And we, making the sign of that cross of divinity, he calls it, we use the protective formula. As a soul, I work in light, and darkness cannot touch me. I take my stand within the light. I work, and from that point, I never move. Tracing the light. So before each one of us, that cross of light exists, and before the group as a whole, a composite cross. cross of light exists. Our first part of the beam we're going to create consists of the light of matter, which specifically we might look at as etheric physical, and then the light of the concrete reasoning mind. We bring them together on the mental plane. And then we make application to the soul light. We recognize it, and we imaginatively bring the three together. The vital light of matter, the light of logic and reason, and the light of the soul, which gives an altogether higher perspective. So they come together, and then we're going to say together, I'm not sure I can do these ohms right now. We'll see. We say, the light is one, and in that light shall we see light. This is the light that turns the darkness into day. Now our formula, as a group, inwardly, or if you're alone, outwardly, or however is best for you, but not in the group setting. Here we say the following. And visualize as we say it. Radiance are we, and power. We stand forever with our hands stretched out. linking the heavens and the earth, the inner world of meaning and the subtle world of glamour. And notice the difference between the world of meaning and the subtle world of glamour. We reach into the light and bring it down to meet the need. We reach into the silent place and bring from thence the gift of understanding. Thus, with the light we work, and turn the darkness into day. It's like the hands of the magician reaching up and the other reaching down. So as these words are spoken, are said, as the Tibetan says, the group members visualize the great searchlight they have created, turning its light upon the astral plane, and let's remind ourselves, bringing in discovery. Where are those glamours? Bringing in dissipation. And bringing in the higher and better ways, the higher ideals, which will characterize the astral plane now, and maybe the plane of lower mind, and the plane of the ethers, a pause follows, and then comes the invocation of spiritual will. That's the power aspect on the beam. Helpful in banishing the glamours. We invoke the spiritual will on our beam, and we say, with power upon its beam, the light is focused on the goal. our glamour. For tonight, they're all related. The glamour of selfish desire. Characterizing so many millions and even billions of people. And so, with this idea of how selfish desire has spoiled so many human interactions and interactions with the kingdoms, how it has, in a way, emerged and wrecked the world. We say, the power of our united light prevents the appearance of the glamour of selfish desire. The power of our united light negates the quality of this glamour from affecting humanity. The power of our united life destroys the life or vitality behind this glamour. And so we visualize the light penetrating into the glamour, producing its weakening, its dissipation, and bringing in, this time, the new ways of reconditioning the astral plane, and also the plane of illusion, which is the lower mental plane, and also the plane of confusion, which is the normal etheric plane. So we'll have some little bit of silence as you ponder. Ponder those three. So we're working upon the astral plane right now, where so much of the difficulty is occurring, and also in the many astrally based conspiracy theories which have made it seem that millions and millions have lost their ability to understand truth and to discriminate, to discern the truth. The next time we gather, we'll be working at the individual methods that can be applied to make sure that we individually are not contributing to the glamours, or at least as little as may be possible. So we withdraw our light. We withdraw the beam. And the searchlight of the soul is turned off. The light is redistributed to its sources. And every day we can keep in mind that we do not want to fall victim to these glamours. Now, normally the Om would be sounded by every member individually, but we cannot do that. So sound the Om with me. I won't do it very well, but we'll sound it and bring the meditation to a close. Om. Om. Okay, friends, hopefully Tuya gets back in time to lead this this vigil. Otherwise, you may have to put up with me, and I have less equipment going here than she does, but somehow or another, we will work it out. And remember that BL has put up the link for the vigil, and it's in the chat box. Climate change meditation. So, many blessings to everyone, and if you join us, great, and if not, well, okay, you know, you'll have your own way. We will proceed trying to look at the value of what is emerging in Glasgow, realizing that everybody is implicated in this. So I'm going to turn this off. I think that we do not have Michael here. We don't. It's BL and myself.
Michael Crowe's here.
Yeah, okay, well, thank you. And that'll probably be a relief. Okay, so I'll turn this one off, and we'll go to the link that you have prepared. As soon as I copy that link for myself as well. Yeah.